Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. If you tuned in early to the DNC speeches last night, you may have heard this from Pennsylvania Representative Brendan Boyle.
We were raised to believe that in this country, if you work hard, where you come from doesn't determine where you're going. Thanks to many sacrifices, a lot of student loans, and a little luck, I became the first in my family to go to college. As Democrats, our mission is to make more stories like mine more common, not less so.
Boyle mentions hard work, sacrifices, and luck. That last elusive ingredient may be the most overlooked and also the most important, according to Robert Frank, a professor of management and economics at Cornell University. His new book, Success and Luck, Good Fortune and the Myth of Meritocracy, examines why we underestimate the importance of luck and how that's driving inequality and politics today. He joins us now from Ithaca, New York. Welcome, Professor Frank.
Indira, nice to be with you.
Well, nice to have you. And first, I want to ask, is it unusual in America for a politician to acknowledge the role of luck in his or her success? I mean, I've heard UK Prime Minister David Cameron acknowledge how lucky he was to be born rich and go to great schools. But it seems like American politicians favor the I pulled myself up by my bootstraps narrative.
Yes, I think it is unusual. And oddly, I think people seem to feel apprehensive that if they concede that they had a lucky break or two along the way, people will think less of them somehow. In fact, all available evidence suggests the contrary. We like people who are willing to admit that in addition to being talented and hardworking, which almost all successful people really are, there are lots of talented and hardworking people who don't make it through to the top. And the ones who do typically also enjoyed a bit of luck.
So quickly, give us the top line from your book. Why is luck so important?
It's gotten even more important than it always has been. And that's partly because the highest incomes that are awarded these days are in what we call winner-take-all markets. Technology has enabled people to extend their reach over broader and broader areas. That means we don't need tens of thousands of local accountants anymore to help people with their taxes. It's enough that we have one user-friendly tax software package. In the early days, there were hundreds of those displacing accountants, but at some point, the reviewers decided that TurboTax was the best one. And from then on, it was them dominating the market. So we've got the owners of that business walking away with very, very big payoffs. The rest of the pack, often just a hair's breadth behind them in terms of quality and effort, get almost nothing. So if you're competing for one of those top prizes, what we know is that there are thousands and thousands of contestants. And the finalists in those contests, they're all good. Let's find the best one, the hardest working one, who's got the most talent. That person is going to have average luck. So because, you know, we chose him because he was the best, not because he was either lucky or unlucky. There are going to be hundreds of people almost as good as that person. Most of them won't have good luck either, but some small number of them will. And so
goes back even to a more basic question of where you're born. I mean, you talk about the importance of being born in a first world country.
Yes, Mr. Boyle enjoyed some luck here, but his big break came when he was born in the United States instead of in South Sudan. Yeah, there's no way that talent and hard work can make much of your life if you're born in the wrong environment.
Well, you say that the question, how we answer the question ourselves of how important luck is in each of our own life stories reliably divides people into conservatives or liberals, Republicans or Democrats. How so?
Well, there's a tendency there. So I think it's true that conservatives are more likely to stress individual initiative and hard work in their explanations of success. There's no problem at all with that explanation. Certainly, those are qualities that are right at the forefront of explaining success in most cases. I think liberals are more inclined to look at life circumstances when they explain success stories. The differences in emphasis don't describe a very sharp divide between the two groups. And really, there's a lot of truth in both elements. If you want to succeed, first thing out of the gate to be important, work hard and have talent. If you want to see who succeeds in the set of people who have those qualities, you'll want to look who got the lucky break at the right time.
Well, in your book, you mention Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren's 2012 campaign speech in which she said there's nobody in this country who got rich on his own. Here she is last night telling her story.
I'm a janitor's daughter who became a public school teacher, a professor, and a United States senator. America is truly a country of opportunity. I am deeply grateful to that America. I believe in that America. But I'm worried. I'm worried that my story is locked in the past. Worried that opportunity is slipping away for people who work hard and play by the rules.
All right. So is there a difference between what she calls luck and what she calls opportunity?
You know, I don't really make a fine distinction between any of the different kinds of external forces that matter in life outcomes. If you get hit by a car, that's bad luck. If you are born with a lot of good talent and drive, that's good luck. But so is being born in a place where if you have those qualities, you can put them to work for yourself. So really what we're talking about in general is just the whole mix of things other than what you do. If you're talented and hardworking, that's good. Where did those qualities come from? Not everybody has them. We know they came from either your upbringing or your genes. Which of those factors do you think it's okay to claim moral credit for?
Well, if we tie it back to politicians who are always touting the American dream, regardless of which party they're from, the idea is that anyone who works hard can get ahead regardless of background. Do you think that's actually a myth?
I think there are many people who work hard and who are talented who don't get ahead much. The idea that those are sufficient conditions for success has never been true. It's less true now than it was in the past. If you don't work hard, you're almost certainly not going to succeed. So don't take the message to be that hard work doesn't matter. It truly does matter.
Well, what about the policy implications of all of these discoveries and analysis you've done? You're a behavioral economist, it seems. So if people are downplaying luck in their own stories of their success, and especially if politicians downplay the role of luck, what does that mean for public policy? What do you think we should be doing in a public policy forum to even the playing field and allow as many people as possible in this country to be lucky and put their hard work and their talents to good use?
You know, you have to have the opportunity to do those things. And if you're in the wrong environment, you can't. So when I graduated from college, my family didn't have much money, but I graduated debt-free. Today, someone like me would graduate with $40,000 or $50,000 worth of debt. There's a movement now to try and redress that problem. I think it would be good to press on. It's going to cost money to do that. Most people think it's a bad thing that the smart kids from poor families are less likely to graduate from college now than the dumb kids from rich families. That's not a good thing. But to do something about that will cost some money. I think the good news is that it wouldn't be as painful as most people think it would. Look, if you're a prosperous person, what do you want? You want something special. That's defined almost completely in relative terms. So if you're prosperous and you paid a little bit less and had a little bit less to spend on things you want, that means your mansion would be a little smaller. You'd spend a little less on your car. The diamonds you give as gifts would be a little smaller.
Wouldn't we all like to get diamonds as gifts or be able to give them?
Well, we're talking about prosperous people now and the celebrations of special occasions. They'd cost less money. But since all
if there
those
were
things
a consumption
relative,
tax that were progressive, is what you're saying. If there were higher taxes on wealthier people.
Never mind
people.
Where we got the tax. If people had less money to spend on those things, the standards would adjust accordingly, and all the prosperous people would be just as happy as before. You know, weddings cost $30,000 on average now. 30 years ago, they cost $10,000. Nobody's any happier today because of that extra expenditure.
All right. Robert Frank is a professor of management and economics at Cornell University. His new book is called Success and Luck, Good Fortune and the Myth of Meritocracy. You can find out much more about his book on our website, radioboston.org. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR Boston's NPR news station. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. Join us again tomorrow for much more Radio Boston.